Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. We have been considering Paul's second missionary journey, and we have come now to verses 9 to 11. And this evening, for a few moments, I want to preach very simply on the subject of God's promise to Paul at Corinth. And in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 to 11, we read these words. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer, and let's ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this subject and this text of Scripture tonight. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. And we pray, Lord, now as we turn to the sacred page, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, for this tremendous promise that you give to your servant as he sought to labor in the city of Corinth. And, O God, we pray tonight as we come to consider it that you would encourage your people this evening as we would seek to serve thee in the place where you've called us. We pray, Lord, that there might be a word in season for each and every one of us, not only for the saints of God, but for those in the meeting who are not saved. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to all of our hearts. We believe that there's a message here for us all. O God, we thank thee for thy word. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless it to our hearts tonight, that we might leave God's house saying it was good to have been here, for it was here where we met afresh with the Lord. Remember those who are saved. O God, we pray that you'll encourage your people and strengthen us in these days and help us, Lord, to go on with thee. And O God, remember the dear unsaved in our meeting tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would open up their eyes, open up their hearts, speak to them, that even this night they would call upon thee for salvation. So bless us now, we pray thee. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. When the Apostle Paul preached the gospel in Corinth, many were converted and gloriously saved. However, although the Lord blessed Paul in Corinth, there was also much opposition to the apostle and to the message that he preached. Indeed, such was the opposition from the Jews that Paul decided to concentrate his effort in reaching the Gentiles. There's no doubt that the Apostle Paul was much discouraged when he was at Corinth, at least at the beginning of his ministry there. The reason for this discouragement is uncertain, because Paul had suffered persecution many times before and it did not seem to bother him. Maybe at Corinth Paul was beginning to get weary in well-doing. Maybe he felt the heat of the battle. Maybe he felt like quitting. Maybe there was some other reason. But it just goes to prove that even the greatest of men are only men at best. Even the great apostle Paul needed the Lord to come and strengthen him in the midst of the battle. And that's what we have here, I believe, in our text of Scripture. The Lord comes to the apostle Paul, and he gives him this wonderful promise and these wonderful words of encouragement. And there's no doubt that before we come to the end of this message tonight, we're going to see that these words certainly did encourage God's servant, because he continued in the city of Corinth preaching the message of the gospel. And because he continued preaching the message of the gospel, many souls were saved and the Lord blessed his ministry in a very wonderful and unique way. For a few moments, therefore, I want us to consider this promise that God give to Paul in the city of Athens. And I pray as we consider it that the Lord might encourage our hearts, child of God, in the work of the Lord. We're not living in easy times in this 21st century. Things are difficult in the work of God. But thank God the Lord has not changed. He's still the same. And I pray that as we look at these words here, that the Lord might encourage our hearts, even in this 21st century, to keep on going on serving the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. The devil wants us to give up. Even in the Christian life, the devil wants us to stop serving the Lord. But if there's a day and age when you and I need to continue to serve the Lord, need to continue to preach the gospel, need to continue to pray for our loved ones, then it is certainly this day and age in which we live. I want you to notice, first of all here, a word of exhortation. Look what it says in verse 9. Underline these words. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. There are many today that would seek to muzzle the mouth of the preacher. They would seek to stop him from preaching the truth. And there are many who would seek to stop us from spreading the message of the gospel. And of course, this was what was happening in the city of Corinth. There were many in the city of Corinth who were seeking to stop Paul from going forward in the work of God. They did not want Paul to preach the gospel in their city. However, as the Lord began to speak to the apostle, he exhorted him not to be afraid, but to preach the word with boldness. The Lord here was exhorting Paul to continue the work that he had begun in the city of Corinth. He was not to turn back. He was not to give up. He was not to grow weary in well-doing. He was not to hold his peace. Rather, he was to keep on doing what God had commanded him to do, and that was to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The preacher's job is to preach God's truth. There's a wonderful portion of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn over to it just for a moment. These, of course, are the words of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he was coming to exhort young Timothy to continue in the work of God in spite of the difficulties. Maybe the Apostle looked back to that time at Corinth when he was discouraged, when he felt like giving up, and when the word of the Lord came afresh to him. And now he wants to encourage the young minister at Ephesus. Maybe Timothy's going through a hard time, a difficult period. Maybe he feels like giving up as well. Child of God, in every generation, there are times the work of God is hard. Times when the work of God is difficult. But we don't give up. Listen to what Paul said to young Timothy in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And the truth is, there are times when the tide goes out, times when things are difficult. But what do we do at such a time? Do we turn back? Do we give in? No, we continue to do what God has called us to do, to spread the message of the gospel. And we're not to fear man, and we're not to fear the enemy, but rather we are to continue to trust in the Lord and to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's a tremendous portion of Scripture in Ezekiel chapter 3, listen to these words, verse 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You see, the truth is this. When we preach the gospel, it is a savor of life unto life, but it is also a savor of death unto death. But if the preacher fails to declare the word of God, if he gives up, if he turns back, if he fails to continue to preach the word of God, then God will require their blood at the preacher's hand. And that's why it is so important, even in these hard times, that we continue to go forward and continue to bring the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a dying world. Whether they will hear or not, my friend, results, that's up to God. The saving of souls, that's up to God. Our job, our responsibility is to continue to preach. And here the Lord comes to the Apostle Paul at a time, I believe, when he was greatly discouraged. And the Lord says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. And child of God, that's a word of exhortation to you and me. Sunday school teacher, continue to teach those children the things of God. Children's worker, continue to teach those children the things of God. Youth leader, Bible class leader, continue to teach those young people in the things of God. Indeed, each and every one of us, as we found out this morning, wherever we are employed, we are to spread the message of the gospel to those that we work among. We're not to be afraid, but we're to continue to bring the message of the gospel to a dying world. Luke 9, verse 62, we read these words, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Child of God, the hardest thing to do when we are down and discouraged is to go forward. But thank God, the Lord here comes and he gives us a word of exhortation. It is the Lord that comes to the apostle here. Look what it says. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. But I want you to notice verse 10. Take a look at verse 10 of Acts chapter 18. And you'll notice not only is there a word of exhortation here, but there's a word of encouragement. Look what the Lord says to Paul in verse 10. For I am with thee. This is the Lord speaking. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. My, what a word of encouragement that must have been to God's servant. We noticed this morning that Corinth was a wicked, ungodly, vile place. And the Jews turned against Paul. They wanted nothing to do with the message of the gospel and with the Lord Jesus Christ. He exhorted them to believe that Jesus was the Christ, but they refused to believe. My, how that must have discouraged God's servant. But here we have the Lord coming to Paul in a vision in the night. And he encourages God's servant. And he says, listen, Paul, I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Notice here that Paul received a threefold encouragement from the Lord. First of all, he was encouraged by the promise of the Lord's presence with him. For I am with thee. Secondly, Paul was encouraged by the promise of the Lord's protection to him. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And thirdly, Paul was encouraged by the promise of the Lord's purpose through him. For I have much people in this city. God promised Paul that through his preaching there would be those who would be saved. My, how this must have encouraged the apostle. And the Lord kept his word and fulfilled his promise. And the truth is that many were saved through Paul's ministry in that wicked city of Corinth. Look at verse 8. Underline verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue,
believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You'll notice in the text very simply that a man and his family were saved. And you'll notice in the text also that many of the Corinthians came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And when we study on Paul's ministry in Corinth, we find out that a church was established for the glory of God in this wicked, ungodly place where Paul was so discouraged. The Lord worked in a mighty way. My friend, let me ask you a question tonight. Before we go any further, maybe this is changing the subject a little, but I feel led to change the subject just a little. I want to ask you tonight in this meeting, are you saved? Are you saved? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? You see, it's not just enough to come to church, and it's good to come to church. It's not just enough to read your Bible, and it's good to read your Bible. But you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. You need your life changed by the power of God. Because the Bible says that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says because of your sin that you are on your way to hell. Because the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that verse is speaking about eternal death, the second death, going out into a lost eternity. That's why you need God's salvation tonight. And the gospel is this, and this is the gospel that Paul preached in Corinth, and this is the gospel that changed lives in Corinth. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, and he went to a cross, and there upon Calvary's middle tree, he died for your sins and for my sins. And he rose again, and because he lives, you can live. But my friend, you'll never be saved. And you'll never get into heaven unless you come and take the sinner's place and fall down before God in repentance and faith and trust him as your own and personal Savior. That's what happened to the dying thief upon the cross. He cried out and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that day, hanging on the cross, the dying thief realized that he was the sinner. He recognized that only Christ could save him. And he recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was hanging on the cross beside him, was none other than the Son of God. And he cried unto God for mercy. And the Lord saved him. My friend, that's what you need to do tonight. You need to cry unto God for mercy. You need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can still remember the night, many years ago now, in an old gospel meeting, when the Lord spoke to me, and I came under conviction of sin. I can still remember at the end of the meeting, waiting behind, wanting to be saved, wanting my sins forgiven, wanting to know that I was going to heaven. Friend, do you know that your sins are forgiven tonight? Do you know that you're going to heaven? If you were to die right now in the pew you're sitting in, would you be in heaven? If you said to me, preacher, I haven't got that knowledge. I haven't got that assurance. I'm not saved. Well, then the truth is, if you were to die right now, you'd be in hell. But thank God, if you were to come tonight and be saved, then the Lord would give you that assurance and you would know that you're going to heaven. Oh, there's no greater blessing in this world than to know that you're going to heaven and that you're saved by the grace of God. As Paul preached in Corinth, the Lord honored his promise. The Lord kept his word, and many were saved and many were converted. And Paul was not to be afraid. Why? Because the Lord had promised to be with him, to protect him, and to prosper him with many souls in the city of Corinth. Oh, child of God, the Lord will do his work. The Lord will save souls. Our business is just to continue to be faithful to Him in the place of prayer and preaching the word and seeking to witness for the lost. This wonderful fear not that the Lord spoke to Paul calmed the heart of the apostle in the midst of the storm. Just look at that little phrase in verse 9. Be not afraid. Isn't it a wonderful little phrase? Be not afraid. Child of God, you should study the fear nots of God that He spoke to His servants when they were in the midst of trouble. Now, we haven't got the time tonight to study all these fear nots, but it's a wonderful study. He said to Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 1, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." He said to Isaac, "Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." He said to Jacob, he said this to Jacob, "Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation." And when you study these fear nots throughout the Bible, the Lord seems to come to His people at a time when they're down in the dumps, at a time when they enter into great fear in their lives. Isn't it wonderful, child of God, that even in the deepest valley, the Lord comes to us and the Lord gives us a word in season. And when we're down in that deep valley, the Lord picks us up. You see, when you're saved, the Lord promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's why the Word of God is so precious to God's people. My friend, if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, I would exhort you to come to the Lord tonight and be saved. Not only will He save you tonight, but He'll keep you tomorrow. Not only will He redeem you tonight and make you fit for heaven tonight, but you see, tomorrow and next week and next month and for the rest of your life, the Lord will be with you. And not only will He be with you the rest of your life, but He will be with you when death comes. Isn't that what the psalmist said? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And not only will He be with you when death comes, but He'll be with you throughout all the countless ages of eternity. Because when death comes, He'll bring you over the valley of the shadow of death, and He'll bring you into heaven, and you'll spend eternity with Christ forever in His presence. Oh, my friend, what a privilege and what a joy it is to be born again of the Spirit of God and all of God's servants. Not only the Apostle Paul, but all of God's servants knew the presence of the Lord and they heard that word, fear not. Just turn over just for a moment. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 18. Turn over to Daniel for a moment. Daniel chapter 10. And you know, there was a time in Daniel's life when fear came into his heart, when trouble came into his life, when he was deep in the valley. But look what we read here in Daniel chapter 10. Look at verse 12 first of all. "Then said he unto me," it's the Lord speaking to Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Look at verse 19. "And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Oh, Daniel knew the strength of the Lord through the Lord speaking to him and saying, "Fear not, fear not." Isn't it wonderful? And even in this old world of sin, we look around us and sin abounds in every hand. Isn't it wonderful, child of God, that in the midst of the darkest valley, we can know the presence of the Lord with us and we can hear that voice speaking unto us saying, "Fear not." I tell you, there's no greater blessing than the blessing of being a Christian. No greater blessing than to open God's word and for God to speak to us. And of course, this is how the Lord speaks to us today, because the Bible is a full revelation. We can turn to God's word. We can turn to these wonderful promises. And the Lord comes and speaks to our hearts. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Maybe there's a Christian here tonight. You're downcast. Maybe you even feel like giving up. Maybe you even feel like turning back. You've just gone through a time of discouragement. Oh, child of God, here's a word for you tonight. Fear not. The Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." And not only has he promised to be with us, he has promised to protect us. Not only has he promised to protect us, but he has promised to bless us in his service as we go forward in his name. My grandfather was saved late in life. He had a wonderful testimony. Before he was converted, he was a very heavy drinker. And my grandmother got saved first. And she was saved late in life as well. And she got saved through the ministry of Leonard Ravenhill. And a few months after that, they were in a mission hall praying for my grandfather to be saved. And he was in the pub. And he was drinking very heavily. And all of a sudden, he stopped drinking. And he said to the barman, he says, "That's going to be my last drink. I'm never going to drink again." And he went out of the pub and he walked to where my grandmother and others were praying for him in the mission hall. And he burst into the mission hall. Now, they thought he was coming in to order my grandmother out. For he hadn't been too pleased that she had got saved. But he didn't. He went into the mission hall. And he got down on his knees beside them, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and he was saved. He was saved. Under the influence of alcohol, he was saved. And he never took another drink from that day until the day he died, and he lived until he was 96 years of age. But a few months after he was saved, he got discouraged, very discouraged. And he was walking up Portadown Street one day, and he stopped outside the pub, and he turned round and he looked into the pub, through the door of the pub. And he was just about to take a step in when this wee faith mission pilgrim hit him on the back of the shoulder and said, "James Joseph, I have just heard that you've got saved, and it's great news. James Joseph, fear not, for the Lord has promised, I am with thee, and I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And you know, that was just the word of encouragement that he needed at that point in his life. And he turned around and went away from the pub. And he never looked back. Child of God, there's times in our lives when we need a word of encouragement. But thank God, when we need that word of encouragement, the Lord will come and give us that word of encouragement. The devil wants to get us back in the pub. The devil wants to get us back in the world. The devil wants us to turn away from the Lord. And no doubt, when Paul was in Corinth, he was so discouraged, he didn't know what he was going to do. But just at that point, the Lord came. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord encouraged him. And the Lord promised, "I am with thee. I am with thee. And I'll not forsake thee. And no man's going to hurt thee." And Paul, I have much people in this city. People I'm going to save. People I'm going to reach. People that I'm going to redeem. I have much people in this city. And I'm going to use you, Paul. I'm going to use you. Child of God, the Lord wants to use us. Oh, let us plead again the wonderful promises of Christ. Let us be encouraged tonight to keep going on. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're the only one saved in your family, well, you pray for your family, and the Lord will save the rest of them. The Lord will bring the rest of them to Christ. I was the first one saved in my family. And after I was saved one by one, they started to get saved. And my father didn't get saved until 10 years after I was saved. So I was praying for him for 10 years. And there's ones in my family circle I'm still praying for. But the Lord is able. The Lord is able. And he's able to use you and your family. My, this man, Crispus, got saved. Isn't that what it says here in Corinth? And not only did he get saved, but his whole household got saved as well. Isn't that encouraging? I want you to notice something else. Verse 11. Take a look at verse 11. Not only do we have a word of encouragement here, and not only do we have a word of exhortation here, but notice in verse 11 we have a work of enthusiasm. I want you to notice Paul's reaction after the Lord gave him this promise and spoke to his heart. Look what verse 11 says. It says this, and he continued. Underline those words and don't miss them. He continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. From this point on, Paul did the work of God in Corinth with great enthusiasm. Child of God, there's two ways you can do God's work. You can do God's work as if it is a chore, or you can do God's work with enthusiasm. In spite of the difficulties, in spite of the hardness, in spite of the hatred of many in Corinth towards him, Paul continued serving the Lord in the place where God had called him to. For another 18 months, the apostle served God in Corinth full of zeal. And not only was Crispus and his family saved, and not only were there other Corinthians saved, as indicated in verse 88, but there were many others who were saved. Turn over just for a moment. We'll take the time to read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you'll see that the church in Corinth was not made up of many mighty and noble people. It was made up of sinners whose lives were transformed by the grace of God. Take a look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And these are the type of people that Paul pointed to Christ in those 18 months. Look what it says in verse 9. Know ye not, here's Paul writing to the church at Corinth now, and he's reminding them of what they used to be. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters or adulterers or effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's some list. But then look what it says there in verse 11. And Paul says this, and such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Why, those are tremendous words. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment of Jesus, a cleansing receives. The truth is that the Lord can save to the very uttermost, to the very guttermost, all that come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I don't know who you are tonight. Whether you're walking down the clean side of the broad road or the dirty side of the broad road. You know, there's two sides to the broad road. The broad road leads, of course, to hell. So it doesn't matter whether you're on the clean side of it or the dirty side of it. The dirty side of the broad road, there's drunkards and there's harlots and there's vile sinners. On the clean side of the broad road, there's the religious. And there's the good living. And there's the churchgoer. So what category do you come into? Are you walking down the clean side of it or the dirty side? It doesn't matter. It's all going to the one place, to hell. But thank God tonight you can still be saved. You can still be saved. The woman of Samaria was an adulteress, but Jesus saved her. Nicodemus was a religious Pharisee, but Jesus saved him. My friend, tonight in this meeting, you need to be saved by the grace of God. Child of God, keep on serving the Lord. The Lord's going to work. The Lord's going to save. In his time and for his own glory, he'll do it. But we must just continue to do what God has called us to do. My friend, if you're in this meeting tonight without Christ, come and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul, from this time on, continued to serve the Lord right to the very end of his life. Just turn over and I'll finish with this. Acts chapter 26. And of course, we'll be coming to this chapter, dear knows when, for we have been studying the book of Acts now all year, and we'll certainly be studying it into the new year. But look with me here, right to the end of Paul's life, he continued to serve the Lord with enthusiasm. That's what I want you to see. Look what it says in verse 21 and 22. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. My, right to the very end of his life, they sought to take him and kill him. Indeed, they eventually did murder him. But look what he says in verse 22. And this is coming to the end of his life, remember. He's an old man now. Having therefore obtained help of God. Isn't that wonderful? Paul could look back to the days and to the times, even to this time in Corinth when he was so discouraged, when God helped him and encouraged him and strengthened him in the work. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Oh, in spite of the dangers and the difficulties, in spite of the discouragements and the problems, Paul continued to go on with God, letting nothing stop him from doing what God had called him to do, because he believed the promise of God and because he knew that God kept his word and that God blessed him. Oh, my friend, the Christian life is not an easy life. It's not a bed of roses. There's times in the Christian life when things will be difficult and things will be hard, and the devil will certainly make it hard. The Christian life is a battle. We fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil all our lives after conversion. But the Christian life is the only life. And it's a rewarding life. There's no life like the Christian life because you have the peace of God in your heart. Now, have you got the peace of God in your heart tonight? When you lay your head on the pillow tonight, have you got the peace of God? Have you got the comfort of God? Do you know that if you were to die in the night, that you'd go to heaven? My friend, if you're not saved, you don't have that peace and you don't have that comfort and you don't have that assurance. And I'll tell you why, how I know, because I used to be where you are tonight. And before that night I was saved, I lay in my bed and I was afraid to close my eyes in case I would die and go out into hell. I was afraid. I was afraid of dying. I was afraid. Afraid of meeting God unprepared. Did you see how I got saved? Oh, the peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. My friend, that peace is still there. That peace is still there. Even in the midst of the deepest valley, even in the hardest day that I have to live upon this earth, even when times are the most difficult, the peace is still there. Because no one, not even the devil, can take away the peace of God in your heart. Come to Christ tonight, and he will give you this peace. Come to Christ tonight and be saved, and he will give you this assurance of heaven. He will, and he'll give it to you tonight. Let us all pray.